From increasing compliance regulations to managing risk, the partner you choose has to be able to keep up with your performance. The team at Allied Solutions is working hard to ensure that you have the services and solutions you need, such as auxiliary loan product refunds, coverage and cancellations, billing leniency, repossession, and more. For over 40 years, Allied has helped their clients grow, protect, and evolve their business. With over 20 million monitored auto loans and over $100 million recovered over the last 5 years, Allied Solutions can help you move the needle. Visit online at alliedsolutions.net/autofinance. Hello and welcome to the Auto Remarketing Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Overby, Senior Editor of Auto Remarketing. My guest today is Rusty West, who is the President of Market Scan Information Systems. And Rusty, it's good to talk with you again. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, Joe, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure visiting with you.
Absolutely. Well, you guys are heavily involved in the digital retail space over there at Market Scan, and you wrote a column for our Auto Fin Journal publication recently about how kind of the pieces are all in place for 2021 to be the year of digital retail. So, you know, for our listeners who maybe haven't read that story yet, what led you to that? That the pieces are in place. What makes you think that this is the year?
It's an interesting question. 2020 was a year of change for everybody, right? Especially for automotive. There's been this big push for dealers to kind of get involved in digital retailing. I think digital retailing is probably an overused term, but an Amazon-esque buying experience where you can shop for a vehicle online and know what your payments are going to be and that kind of stuff. And there was a huge amount of resistance for quoting payments online early on. And then when the pandemic hit, everybody sheltered in place and the world just kind of seemingly stopped for a short period of time, but it got rolling again. And when it got rolling again, consumers still had a desire to shop for cars. They just couldn't go into a dealership and talk to anybody about it. So there was this rapid adoption of, how do we do this? And the dealers who embraced it and did it well, absolutely slayed dragons through that process and literally came out the other end a much better organization, changed the way they do business. And with all that demand, there was a tremendous technological push as well. So we have seen more well-funded technology companies enter the marketplace in the last, 6 months than we've seen probably in the last 3 years. And our space in the marketplace is literally powering all these different companies who want to be able to quote stuff accurately online. So all the pieces are coming into play properly. And a lot of the companies that we worked with, for 6, 7, 8 months to get a product launched, they're starting to launch. And it's heating up rapidly. So I think 2021 is going to be a very telling year about the automotive space.
Well, you mentioned some of the products or projects that you've worked with different players in the industry that are kind of heating up right now. I mean, I know one of them, recently was with General Motors. What are some of the other latest projects that you've been working on in this segment that you're able to talk about at this point?
So I can talk about a few. Obviously we've got non-disclosure agreements and a lot of the companies are just now launching, which kind of, puts us a little bit of disadvantage because we'd love to be able to bang the drum and brag about some of these companies and all the cool things that they're doing. But there's been a few and they're in all different kind of areas of the automotive sector, right? There's a company called Frictionless Technology. It's a bunch of ex-dealer.com guys. They've done some amazing stuff where they can literally, they can predict when a customer is going to buy a car. They have all the engagement, how many times they've been touched. All this great analytics and also this really cool user interface that can be embedded in the dealer's website. So that's pretty far upstream. We're working with some of the big aggregators, right? That represent most all the dealerships to help them provide a different type of shopping experience for a consumer. And that's getting very exciting for us. Historically, the one consumer whose needs have been addressed best is the guy who knows what he wants, right? I've been dreaming about a red Camaro convertible my whole life. Here's one. How much is it going to cost me to drive this thing? But there's a whole new segment. I don't want to say new, but a more prolific segment of consumers who are shopping based on a needs buckets and a budget, right? I got $1,500 up front. I want to pay between $375 and $400 a month. And I need these things. I've got a growing family. I need a, you know, this number of seats, that kind of stuff. What can I drive? And having the ability to very rapidly give them a list of vehicles, basically sorted by what's the best bang for the buck, really meets their needs. And that's a project that we're working on. Hopefully we'll be able to announce it here in about 10 days or 2 weeks that we're working on with one of the big aggregators. And we think that's going to shake some stuff up. And then if you follow the customer's journey into the store, we work with a couple of, we work with a bunch of different companies, but there are a few that have some like amazing CRM solutions. When one of them comes to mind is a company that's actually been on our platform for a long time called DriveCentric. And they've got a really cool, CRM solution that does all kinds of amazing things to keep the consumers engaged with the people at the dealership. And our goal is to be able to quote as far upstream as we can, and every step of the way have whatever we quote the consumer, have it be exactly what the consumer will see when they go to take delivery of the vehicle, assuming the scenario doesn't change. So, you know, it can go from an aggregator into like a Frickin' Tech or a Roadster or a Dealer Inspire into the CRM in the dealership, delivery of the vehicle, because it's in the desking tool in the CRM, and have the whole process flow. And that's been a lot of fun, been a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, I know you've been a frequent speaker at our events, including last year's Auto Intel Summit. You know, as you go out this year to, you know, speak at events, you know, obviously for now digital, but hopefully fingers crossed later in the year that there'll be some in person. But what's sort of the message that you're bringing to dealers this year as you talk to them?
Embrace change, be agile, right, and pay attention. Right, there's some very progressive dealerships and even some small ones who are just, you know, went down from, you know, hey, we're in the middle of the mix to being top 3, 4, 5 in their region dealers because they embraced change, right? They're literally listening to the consumers and they're being highly selective about which technology companies they work with. That way they're making sure that their payments are being quoted their way, right? But the biggest downfall that we see in this rapid progression of digital retailing is, like with any other space, you know, if it grows too fast, you run the risk of there being disconnects. And the big disconnects are, I get quoted something over here. When I come to take delivery of my vehicle, it's not the same. And, you know, if I'm quoted $300 a month online, and then it's $400 a month when I go to take delivery of the car, dealership's got a mess. And that happens every day. The problem is, it's not the dealer's fault. Right, it's the, you know, they've employed some digital retailing company that isn't respecting the terms and conditions under which they're willing to transact. So they need to be selective about who they work with. They need to be really progressive about how they approach the market, and really, I think, listen to the consumer's needs, because that's, I think, ultimately going to be what drives their business.
Well, before I let you go, I wanted to talk about for our listeners. Rustin, his background has a very cool illustration of a prototype of the of a race car with the Market Scan sponsorship. And Rusty, how did Market Scan get into the racing world and kind of in the sponsorship there?
We were exercising fiscal irresponsibility. I've been racing my whole life. I grew up racing motocross, which is what I thought I was going to do for a living. Three stints in a wheelchair into that dream. And I still do. I race cars professionally for a few years. I still do some club stuff. Got an 18-year-old son who is faster than I am. So pretty soon I'm making by his own tires. But we've been in and around motorsports forever. And it's just, we're pretty passionate about it. And in July of last year, we had an opportunity to sponsor a NASCAR and raise some money for some really cool charities, and we jumped all over it. And I'll grab it if you might turn it.
Sure.
Back. So, but Lynell, you know, which I think they're probably most famous for doing the trains. They do tons of NASCAR models, and I never really messed with them, but they picked up the car. So we actually, you know, it's pretty cool. We got these cars with our logo and stuff on them, and you can see the, it's kind of hard to tell, but you can see the Global Walk and America Salutes You charities. Yeah. So very they were, cool. It was charities for military first responders and their families who, you know, basically the survivors of people who have died or been disabled during their service. And we raised a lot of money for them. And then actually proceeds for every car that gets sold goes to the charity too. So it was really fun. And
yeah, very cool.
Well, cool I, part of it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And for a great cause too. So that's awesome. I'm somewhat of a NASCAR novice, even though I live in North Carolina. I went to my first NASCAR race, 2 or 3 years ago, actually as part of a work assignment, up to Bristol, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we, as part of it, you know, we were down on pit row for a little bit, and there was nothing like it. I mean, I've been going to, you know, football and college basketball games my entire life, and I've never seen a sporting event like that. So it's one of those things. I think once it gets in your blood,
you're screwed.
Yeah. Well, Rusty, I really appreciate the time talking with you and for sharing a little bit about what Marcus Skin has going on, and hope to see you again here sometime soon. Hopefully in person, but if not, hopefully another podcast or conference here.
Yes, sir. Listen, I welcome both, but I very much look forward to the day where we can shake hands in person and sit down again. I think the whole world will be relieved when we get to that point.
Absolutely. Hopefully sooner rather than later. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Rusty. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Auto Remarketing Podcast for our entire Auto Remarketing crew. I'm Joe Overby. Thanks for listening.